to Hebrews chapter 12 today, will you? Verses 1 through 15. I kind of felt the Lord stirring my heart. It was nothing earth-shaking. I just felt the Lord stirring my heart about the root of bitterness. The root of bitterness. How many of you have never been under preaching or teaching about the root of bitterness? All right, quite a few hands. Well, it's in the Bible, obviously. And we're going to talk about that today because I think it's time. It's been many years. I looked back and it's been many years since I did any teaching on the root of bitterness. So actually, when I looked, it was a few months over 9 years since I addressed that. So it's like, okay, Lord, we'll do that. We'll go with it. Beginning to read in verse 1 of chapter 12 of Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misuses the grace of God, and that no, here it is, bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. There you see the bitter root. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word. Pray, Lord, that you just brood on us today as we receive from you, from your word, by the power of your spirit. We pray, Lord, that you will enlighten us, that we will get revelation, that will transform us, and that when we leave here today, we will be awakened to the reality of the destruction that is caused by the root of bitterness in our lives and in our communities and in our nation, actually. So, Lord, just anoint this time and be glorified in it. Put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words you've ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the Webster's New World Dictionary defines bitterness as sharp and disagreeable, harsh, severe, piercing, characterized by strong feelings of hatred, resentment, and cynicism. That's what the Webster's New World Dictionary defines bitterness as. So when we run across people who are bitter, or people run across us when we are bitter, because let's be real, it happens both ways. And sometimes, when one person is bitter, they stir up strife and cause bitterness in the people around them. So it becomes a big problem, and it becomes like a big vine in our lives, and can affect an astronomical amount of people. Because see, here's what happens. People that get bitter tend to roam around and look for people that they can get into their camp of bitterness, trying to find someone that they can stir up trouble with. And, but as long as I got people with me, it's all good. No, it's not. No, it's not. This is rampant in our culture. It's even rampant in the church. It's rampant in homes. The enemy is using it to destroy husband-wife relationships in the home. He uses it to destroy relationship between siblings. How many of you know that probably the greatest competition there is the competition that crops up between siblings? How many of you realize that? Sibling rivalry. That can be okay. It just makes you better if it's kept under control. But it's a big problem when the bitterness causes us to be a very sharp and disagreeable person. Then it becomes a problem, because then when we become that way, we become the person that people see coming and they go, exit stage left. Or exit stage right. Because they don't want to be around us. Why would people want to be around somebody like that? Guess what? We don't have to look any further than ourselves. We can see it in someone else, and we're the ones doing exit stage left when somebody else is in that mode. Is it, am I telling a little bit of truth today? Sharp, disagreeable, harsh, severe. I find it interesting that within this definition is severe. Boy, that speaks to me, because whenever I have been, or someone I know or come across has been very embittered, it can become severe. It begins to spill over into everything. Okay? Piercing, characterized by strong feelings of hatred, resentment, cynicism. You know how to tell? It's a very simple way to tell if you are holding on to unforgiveness against another person. It's very simple. When you see them, what do you feel in here? Getting in the presence of a person that we're offended with, you get this thing that wells up in you, don't you? So, before I preach my whole message, before getting into my message, my outline, major point number one, the origin of bitterness. The soil of bitterness is a heart that harbors hostility. We struggle with just letting go. Just let it go. And many times, the thing that causes the biggest problems in us and begins as a root of bitterness in our lives is something that really wasn't that big of a deal to start with. We made a big deal out of it. You know, a while back, someone contacted me. They were embittered about something. They were corrected lovingly, but refused to take the correction in the church. Called me up, talked to me, I'm glad, talked to me, but just could not see when I told them, listen, this was just like a speed bump to us. We just gave a little bit of correction because there was some correction needed. You just need to take the correction and move on. Well, later they contacted me and said, I took your advice, I'm moving on, we're done with the church. Okay. Okay. What can I do? You encourage someone to just let it go and move on, because it really wasn't a big deal. It was just something that needed a little bit of correction. Wasn't a big deal to us, just a big enough deal that it needed correction because it was going to cause a problem down the road. So, that quickly, a person can be offended and uproot themselves and take off, and maybe that wasn't even God's will. I don't know. I can't say whether it was God's will for them to go. I don't know. But that's what happened. Colossians 3, verses 18 through 21 says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. So, we see several stages here. First it says, wives, submit to your husband, which is fitting in the Lord. Because of this, the way this has been preached, and because there are too many guys that have said, you need to submit to me. Guys, don't do that. Don't do that. If you value your relationship, do not do that. All right? I'm giving you wisdom now. I've been married a long time, and I'm giving you some wisdom that I've learned over the years. Because after it says, wives, submit to your husbands, which is fitting to the Lord, in the Lord, husbands, it says, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Women respond to being treated right. I know that's a fact. They will respond in a very positive manner when they are treated right, when they are treated with love and respect. That's a fact. It's the way God made them. Okay? You don't want to be harsh with them, because harshness produces more harshness. And then you're standing in the kitchen trying to get supper made fighting. Isn't that right? Come on, somebody help me preach. All right. I'm trying to be real here, as real as I can. And then it goes on to, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And it goes on to say again, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. You don't want to be just mean to your children. Let me tell you something else. It is right and fitting to punish your children when appropriate. Punishment delves out instruction. Sometimes it needs to come in the form of maybe not being able to sit down for supper. Depends on a situation. Sometimes it might be you're grounded from this or grounded from that or whatever. Appropriate discipline for the crime that was committed. Can I use that terminology?
Yes.
Otherwise, we embitter our children and they become discouraged. All discipline must come from the hand that is on one side, the hand of discipline, fathers, but on the other side, a hand of love and support. If there is not that balance of love and support in the one hand and discipline in the other, you will embitter your children. Am I making sense? The seed of bitterness is hurt. Hurt. When someone really hurts you, maybe they wronged you, maybe they betrayed a confidence, maybe they went and spread something about you that's not true, maybe they did this, maybe they did that, but it's something that hurt you very deeply. Guess what, guys? The people that are closest to us, that means immediate family, and our closest friends, have the capacity to hurt us the worst. Because they are the closest ones to us. The ones we love the most are the ones that have the ability to hurt us the worst. Because of the fact that we do love them. And when you love someone that much, you trust them. And when a trust is betrayed, we feel hurt. And then the enemy is always quick to help out. He'll come and tell us the things that we should do. Remember, when you're on your bed at night with your head on the pillow and you can't sleep, and you're tossing and turning and mulling over what you're going to do to that person. Somebody help me preach. Truth or not? So the seed of bitterness is hurt. That hurt might be intentional. Sometimes people hurt people just to be mean. Especially, they might do that if they're already offended. There's an old adage that says, hurt people hurt people. Wounded people wound people. That's the nature of the beast, if you will. The hurt may be unintentional. Is anybody like, are you guys like me? Do you sometimes not intentionally just do stupid stuff that might offend somebody? I got both hands up. I mean, we do, because we're human. We're human, and gosh, I know that I've hurt people unintentionally in my life. Listen, I've also, BC, I hurt a fair amount of people on purpose. I meant it. It wasn't good. I'm the first one to testify that it wasn't good. I'm glad I'm not that guy no more. But given the right situation, I'm just going to be honest with you. There can still be that thing that tries to well up in me that says, I'm going to hurt you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Especially if it's an attack on my wife or some of my kids or someone in my family. Somebody intentionally hurts one of them. Pastor could end up backsliding. I'm just being honest. The hurt also may be imagined. We sometimes imagine things that have been done to us, and we are nowhere near the truth. We assume things. Beware of assumptions. When we assume things and we have no proof, we are setting ourselves up for a root of bitterness. Do you agree with that? Also, it talked a lot in our passage about chastisement in verses 5 through 11, in our text in Hebrews 12. The hurt may be God's chastisement on us. God chastises us. And we have a choice to either submit to God's chastisement or become mad at God and embittered with Him because of it. Unfortunately, in the almost 40 years that I've been walking with Christ, I have seen innumerable people that have walked away from the church and walked away from God because they're embittered at God. Yes. In some cases, it was a death of a loved one. Could not accept that a loving God would take their loved one like that and have walked away from God. They're embittered with God. Unfortunately, I've seen that over and over. I've seen people walk away from God because they got church hurt. Do you know what I'm talking about when I use that terminology? Many times the people in the church didn't even know that the person was hurt because they never said anything, unfortunately. But the enemy uses this, that root of bitterness. He'll start that root of bitterness and it'll grow and grow and grow and fester. And the next thing you know, the people have disappeared. They won't not only go to that church, but won't go to any church because they're embittered with those Christian people. They did this to me and won't let it go. So I went over that fairly quickly because we're on a limited amount of time here. But that is the origin, in a nutshell, of bitterness. It's where it starts. The best thing to do is head it off when it's in that stage, so it doesn't get any further. That's the best thing to do. But unfortunately, we don't very often do that, do we? So now, second major point, I want to look with you at the devastation of bitterness. It's devastating. It's why the devil loves it so much when he can get us to get into that mode where we're allowing a root of bitterness to start and continue to grow in us. So he'll keep feeding, the enemy will keep feeding us reasons to be offended. He'll just keep feeding them to us. Be careful what you take in. The root of bitterness is called a root because it is underground. It's behind the scenes. And therefore, we think it's easy to hide. But the bitter root that is buried manifests on the outside through the things that we've already talked about. Because, see, eventually, no matter how well we hide it, whatever is going on in here comes out here. If at no other time, when the pressure is on. Kind of like when you're nailing something up and you hit the wrong nail. What comes out your mouth then? Don't tell me. Don't blurt that out in here. Characteristics of a bitter person. Characteristic number one of a bitter person is very sensitive. It's the kind of person that you can be communicating with and you say something and you didn't know you were saying anything wrong and all of a sudden their face changes and they say, "What's that supposed to mean?" That's just one example of many. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Huh? What's that supposed to mean? And then you know what makes it worse, guys? Is, you know, when I was a kid growing up, and up until about 25 years ago, we didn't have social media. Everything was done face to face. So if you wanted to knock somebody's lights out, they were right there. They were right there toe to toe with you, you get it done. Now, you got people on social media that will do and say anything because they have no fear because you're not standing toe to toe with them. And people are fighting on social media. It's absolutely absurd. The enemy's loving it, and people are playing into it. The next characteristic is that they show little or no gratitude for anything. Bless a person that is embittered with something, and instead of a thank you, they'll walk away and grumble, well, it should have come sooner. Even if you realize that you've done, that the person is offended, and you either, whether you did or didn't do it, you know, you come to them and say, man, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. I am sorry, will you forgive me? Many times the embittered person will say, too little, too late. Because they've allowed that root to go so deep in them and to grow into such a thing that they don't have the capacity to forgive anymore. Make sure we don't get to that point. When a person is repentant, we need to be willing to set them free, because ultimately when we set them free, we set ourselves free.
Yeah.
Unforgiveness, harbor, is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Because it does the same thing to us. It erodes us when we refuse to forgive. Thirdly, they will have a tendency to harshly criticize or use vain flattery. Either or. Use vain flattery. The tongue is dripping as they're talking to you, but then they get on Facebook and... Next one is they hold grudges, obviously. That's what bitterness is. So what's at the root? Holding grudges. The last one is they're given to mood swings. People who are bitter people, when you run into them, typically a bitter person that is given to mood swings, you're not going to know until you start talking to them which person it is. Well, which one is it today? Is your tiptoeing around? I don't know yet which one it is! So that's the characteristics of a bitter person. That's probably not exhaustive, but it's a pretty good list. Next, the fruit of bitterness. In verse 15 of our text, it says, see to it that no one misuses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You see, the fruit of bitterness affects you physically. Even doctors that are living in the world that know nothing about the Word of God, as they study the effects of unforgiveness and harboring bitterness, people physically are affected by living that way. They have proven that a person that lives that way doesn't even live as long as a person that shrugs things off and says, God will take care of it. They live longer. People who love God live longer. Proven fact. It will affect you emotionally as well. When we allow a bitter root to crop up in our lives, even if that thing starts as a bitter root against one person or one group of people, that bitterness will spill over into every single relationship that we have, including the closest ones. It just keeps growing and spilling over. It's so very important that we do. I don't very often recommend that you do what Barney Fife says. But in this case, I'm going to tell you. He says, nip it in the bud. Nip it. So in this instance, I'm in agreement with old Barney. Proverbs 15, verse 17 says, better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fatted calf with hatred. I gotta agree with that. Have you ever had to sit around the table where there's all kinds of tension? Huh? I know you have, because I have countless times. Quite often it can happen in the home when there's some tension because things aren't going well. It's not a pleasant meal, no matter how good the food is. Better a meal of vegetables than to kill the fatted calf and have to sit at a table with people that are mad at you. And then there's that one about better to live on a roof than to live inside the house with a contentious woman. But we'll leave that alone. That's in Proverbs. I'm moving on. I don't want to get myself out there on that limb and cut it off behind me, you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. Sometimes I just get a little goofy. I'll be all right. We'll get back in there where we're supposed to be. Thirdly, it will also affect you spiritually. Yes. And that's the biggest one. Unforgiveness hinders our relationship with our God. Jesus said, if you will not forgive others, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. If you can't be forgiven, how will you get into heaven? Just ponder that for a minute. That is very, very sobering, guys. Because we need all our spots and wrinkles, all our sin washed away by the blood of the Lamb through forgiveness. But Jesus said, if you won't forgive others, neither will my Father forgive you. That is really, really sobering to me. I am trying, and have been for a long time, trying very hard to forgive people. Because frankly, I don't want to find out whether that truly means you're not getting in heaven. I don't want to test the system. I don't want to take any chances. When the trumpet blows and he comes back for his bride, I want to go on the first flight out. I don't want to miss that. No way. So it can affect you spiritually. Also, bitterness has a chain reaction, as I kind of alluded to earlier. Bitterness has a chain reaction. In Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 27, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Married couples, we've all been there. We get in a big old argument. And the enemy's good at making that happen sometime, not too far before we go to bed. All right. So you go to bed. Maybe, if anything is said, it's a grumble. And then you sleep cheek to cheek, and I'm not talking about these. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Huh? Yeah. Guys, you know, the deal when you get up in the morning and say, what's for breakfast? And you get a death stare. And you get hot tongue and cold shoulder. That's not a good breakfast, that's not a good luncheon, that's not a good supper. So don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Verse 29 through 31, same chapter, just skip the verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Not a good thing for us to grieve the Spirit of God. And this is one of the issues that grieves the Spirit of God. It affects us spiritually and can cause a chain reaction. Get rid, verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. For those of you who are not really sure what malice is, here's what it is. It's evil speaking. Malice is the intention to verbally do harm. That's what malice is. Malice is an intention to verbally do harm, to damage someone else. List them all right here. Right here in the letter to the Ephesians. You know why that was written in the letter to the Ephesians? Because it was a problem in the church in Ephesus. It was a problem. So I ask you, if God were going to write a letter to the church in Fulton, you Fultonites, you, or some of you got Comanchites and Clintonites and Morrisonites and Albanyites and Prestonites. We got people from all over. Thompsonites. Even Stocktonites. What would that letter say to us? What would that letter say to us? Now, when I ask that, I'm not asking you to look at the ones around you. Well, I know they deal with this because I'm not. My point here is to get us all to look internal. Look at myself. What would the letter say if God wrote the letter to the church in Fulton and addressed my issues? What would the letter say? Well, mine would probably say, Wayne, you're a little goofy. James 3 and verse 6 says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Someday, I'm going to preach on that old tongue. Last time I did that, that's been a long time ago too. Last time I did that, it was so quiet in the church, I could hear my bones creaking when I was walking. Third major point, the eradication of bitterness. 1st point under that heading, let God reveal it. Let God reveal it. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, our psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Man, that's a heart after God. That's what I was really talking about when I asked you, what would the letter say when you look inside yourself? What would the letter say? Let grace remove it. Let grace remove it. Submit to God. Ask Him to help. You know, sometimes we can get so offended, it's next to impossible for us to let it go on our own because of the fact that we can't forget it. The problem. And forgiving is not forgetting. Forgiving is choosing not to dwell on it anymore. Choosing to let it go. Give it over to God and say, "Lord, help me. I'm struggling here. I don't want to damage myself. I don't want to damage myself spiritually. I don't want to be walking in unforgiveness. So help me, because I'm weak. Help me to move on. Just let it go." Let grace remove it. Let good replace it. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." And in closing, I want to share some thoughts that were written by Corrie Ten Boom. How many of you still remember who Corrie Ten Boom was? Powerful, powerful, powerful person in the body of Christ. Well, listen to what Corrie says. Corrie Ten Boom likens forgiveness to letting go of a bell rope. If you have ever seen a country church with a bell in the steeple, you will remember that to get the bell ringing, you have to tug a while. Once it has begun to ring, you merely maintain the momentum, and as long as you keep pulling, the bell keeps ringing. Corrie Ten Boom says, "Forgiveness is letting go of the rope. It is just that simple. But when you do so, the bell keeps ringing. Momentum is still at work. However, if you keep your hands off the rope, the bell will begin to slow down and eventually stop." It is like that with forgiveness. When you decide to forgive, the old feelings of unforgiveness may continue to assert themselves. After all, they have lots of momentum. But if you affirm your decision to forgive, that unforgiving spirit will begin to slow and will eventually be still. Forgiveness is letting go of the rope of retribution. That's really good. Corrie Ten Boom, she was quite a lady. From what I understand, she has passed on now. So she's in glory. She's getting her rewards, man. So, everybody is going to leave here today, and we're all going to work on not being bitter people. Right? Y'all, raise your hand if you're in agreement with me. Kids too. All right. Thank you. Let's all stand together. Did you get something out of this? It was time for us to address this again, right? I think it was the Spirit of the Lord that led that. Father, we just thank you for your word. And once again, Lord, you've instructed us through your word. We thank you and praise you that your word is complete. That every issue we deal with is in your word. And you've given us everything we need to navigate this life until it's required of us the way you want us to. So, Lord, as we leave this place, may we meditate on these words, and may we effectively address these issues in our lives and just be willing to let go and move on and let you deal with it. Lord, your word tells us, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And Lord, we give it over to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. We love you.